Thanks for joining us here on the Move Podcast. I'm JB Hager, and more importantly, I am joined by Johan Berniel and George Hincappy, who's at his Fondo, I believe. I believe you're already in Chattanooga. Is that right?
I am. I'm at our buddy Brad's place, which you and I had a great time here last year. We're going to miss you guys this year. We got a nice big ride tomorrow morning, 80 miles. Hopefully the weather cooperates. But yeah, other than that, all is good.
But we're here, more importantly, to do a preview of the Giro d'Italia, Tour of Italy this year for 2024. We have a clear leader. We'll get into that. A clear favorite, I should say. But this is exciting. And props to George for lining this up. Before we wrap up the show today, we're going to talk to American cyclist Magnus Sheffield of Team Ineos and his first Grand Tour. That's got to take you guys back. You know, do you remember what was going through your head for your first Grand Tour? Like that's got to be kind of overwhelming. I imagine a lot of jitters, a lot of excitement.
What was your first Grand Tour, George?
The Vuelta, 95 Vuelta. Yeah, where you were like crushing me every day.
The one you had nightmares of nightmares. A yellow dot in front of you. Okay.
Yeah. The Once hit squad. I still wake up with nightmares about that.
Yeah. Well, my first Grand Tour was actually the Tour de France. So that was, never done a Grand Tour before. And it was overwhelming, I have to say. But anyway, in case of Magnus, it's also going to be, quite the event. It's something very special. Three-week stage race, especially with all the activities before, which are completely different to any other race. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he's going to do really well.
Yeah, I agree. What a great head he's got on his shoulders. Young kid. He seems full of confidence. He's on one of the best teams in the world. And, a very unlikely path to professional cycling coming from upstate New York to see him get to this level has been pretty amazing to watch. And now he's one of the best time trials in the world. We won't give away his interview, but that's some part of his goals for this race. Definitely stay tuned for Magnus's interview at the end of the show.
All right. Before we get into the outlook here, or, a preview of the Giro d'Italia and a clear favorite, I do want to check in with a couple of our partners. Today's show is brought to you by Ventum. You've probably noticed over the last several years, if you've been, listening to the show, watching the show, we're all on NS1 road bikes. We all have GS1 gravel bikes. We love them. You could be, by the end of this Giro, on your own brand new Ventum NS1. They're doing the bike giveaway. It's free to register. You can join it. All you have to do is go to ventumracing.com/the-move. This campaign is going to run until the end of the Giro, and we're going to draw a winner. So if you're in the market for a new bike, check out the Ventum NS1 or the GS1. And while you're at it, register to win a free one. Let your friends know, too, all your riding buddies. Let's all register and see if one of us can walk away with this brand new Ventum NS1 road bike. Again, ventumracing.com/the-move. Today's show is also brought to you by Tushy. Now, it's about time us Americans catch up with a lot of the Europeans by having a bidet. And you don't have to change your entire toilet in your restroom. It's a really simple add-on. You can do it in under 10 minutes. There's no additional plumbing, no electricity needed. And there's also a 30-day hassle-free return if for whatever reason you feel the need to return it, and a 12-month warranty. So join 3 million people. Who actually, it says here, 3 million butts who have already made the switch to Tushy for a limited time. Our listeners get 10% off the entire order by using the code WEDO at checkout. It's WEDO, W-E-D-U at checkout at hellotushy.com, promo code WEDO. All right, we'll start out with you, Johan. Very shaken up season with injuries and... all of us from the beginning were like looking at Tadej Pogacar and who wants to do the double, right? Mm-hmm. The Giro Tour, which is, it seems like because of injuries, well, regardless of injuries, he's definitely a favorite, right? But the season has really opened up for him to execute this. So let's jump right into that. Like, I mean, by far he is the favorite. It is how do you beat Pogacar, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at the competition, with all the respect for the others. I mean, we do have Geraint Thomas, who already won the Tour, was second in the Tour, was third in the Tour, was second in the Giro. You know, he is, in my opinion, Pogacar's biggest rival. We have Romain Bardet, who was on the podium of the Tour twice, second and third. But it's not the same kind of rivalry as usual in other Grand Tours. So I think it's Pogacar's race to lose. You know, the question is, how will he lose this? In my opinion, he can lose this by being too greedy. By, you know, we've seen already that Pogacar this year is on a different level than last year. He started the season with Strade Bianche, blew everybody out. Liège-Bastogne-Liège, another demonstration. Vuelta a Catalunya, did whatever he wanted. So, but of course, you know, this is the first Grand Tour, and I just think that he's super, super ready. My question is, will Pogacar give it all 100% in this Giro now that, through the circumstances, there is a realistic possibility for him also to win the Tour again? We don't know yet what's going to happen with Jonas Vingegaard today. I actually read an interview that there is a possibility that he might do the Tour. His team manager sounds, I'm not going to say optimistic, but hopeful. I personally think it's going to be super difficult. But, you know, talking about the Giro, this is Pogacar's race. He is the clear favorite. He's a 5-star and everybody else is a 2 or a 1-star. So we'll see how that unfolds over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Johan, I mean, he's definitely a clear favorite. And the races that he's set his mind this year so far to win, he's completely dominated. You know, was on a different level, was like racing against juniors. So perhaps, and you alluded to it a bit just now, he takes it a bit easier and doesn't have to completely dominate his competition. And just all he needs to do is win. We know that's a bit riskier strategy. We know that a lot of these guys are a lot more concerned with crashes and injuries these days because the racing is faster. The racing is more intense. It seems to be more dangerous. So I think there's going to be a fine line there with him wanting to win, perhaps trying to hold back slightly for the Tour de France, but also paying a lot of attention to safety. And, you know, he's going to have to rely on his team for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all know, you know, the Giro is, it being the first Grand Tour, it is a nervous race. Especially also this year, if you look at the field, there's a lot of sprinters this year, George. I mean, I made a little list here, you know, we have Tim Merlier, Olaf Kooi, Caden Groves, Fernando Gaviria, Fabio Jakobsen, Molano, Girmay, Lamperti, Dainese, Caleb Ewan, Phil Bauhaus. I mean, that's like 11 top sprinters with teams around them, to except Molano, because Molano is part of UAE, but teams around them who go to this Giro. And I even forgot the Italian guy from Trek, the tall guy, what's his name?
Milan?
Jonathan Milan, yeah. not to forget. But so these teams go to those races with the goal of protecting their sprinter. We all know what kind of nervousness that brings. So I think the challenge in the first half of the race will be for Pogacar how to stay out of trouble. I really hope for him that if he ends up taking the jersey in one of the early stages, that he doesn't want to defend it. I don't think at this point that there's anything to be won by leading from start to finish. It's nice, but listen, it doesn't really matter.
That was one of my next questions for you, because, okay, even if Pogacar is on this extreme level, the team, you know, defending the jersey for 3 weeks, and how many of them are also doing the double? Like, what fatigue could this be on UAE? You know, in a weird way, Pogacar needs to protect his team, right?
Exactly.
It's usually the opposite. You do anything to protect them, but he can't wear them out.
Yeah, that's a great point, JB. But going back to the sprints, I mean, there's a big difference these days in the sprints, the way they happen. And it's always funny, Cab and I will discuss, like, when I was leading out Cab on ACC, we had a dominant lead out train. Like, we would have five guys 3 to 4K to go all together, and nobody could really go near us. Now, pretty much each of these guys that Johan just listed out, they can all do that. So what do we see? We see teams, four or five teams across the road going 60, 70K an hour. It makes it more dangerous, more stressful. There isn't a dominant lead out train anymore. It's just who's a good on that particular day. So it just makes it a lot more intense, which is going to make it dangerous for guys like Pogacar and the GC guys to stay up there, because they got to worry about the field sprint splitting, the crashes, all that stuff. It's even though he's the clear favorite, you know, there's still the elements of the road and the peloton that could get in his way.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the course, George. So, you know, it starts in Turin, finishes in Rome, not in Milan. Also a nice place to finish, by the way. But if you look at the whole course, I can't think of, it is less mountainous than usual. If you look at the total elevation, there's 44,000 meters of vertical climbing. That's 8,000 meters less than last year. Basically, that's basically the combination of two big mountain stages less. Yeah. And on the contrary, there are two individual time trials totaling 70 kilometers, one on stage 7 of 40 kilometers and one on stage 14 of 30 kilometers, which is kind of unusual in modern cycling to have 70 kilometers of individual time trialing. So what do you think of the course? Does it favor? I mean, I guess nowadays, anything that has a little bit of mountains and time trial favors Pogacar. But do you think it could open the race, the fact that it's less mountainous than usual?
I mean, I think it's a grand tour. It's going to be hard anyway, regardless of the meters climbed. It's going to perhaps be more opportunities for breakaways. We're seeing a lot more breakaways, making it like, if you can stay on and watch Magnus's interview, a lot of these mountain breakaway stages, the breakaway is actually making it. It's a lot of strong guys that know how to work together well. They know how to gauge their effort. They don't put it all in on the first climb. They're always thinking of ways to make it to the finish. And lots of times they end up fooling the peloton and making it to the end, which I personally think makes the racing a lot more exciting. But if Pogacar is clearly in the lead and he has a team like UAE behind it, they know what to do. They know how to protect these leads, and you know, it'll be stages for the opportunists that maybe aren't close to the overall, but they will be able to get a win in the Giro d'Italia, which in itself is a very important victory for anybody. Mm-hmm. But I like the course. It's a bunch of sprint stages. I think, what is it, 6 or 7 mountaintop finishes. It's a lot of excitement there. It starts off hard already. We have a hard climb in Turin in the first stage, so we're going to see the top guns going at it. It's not going to be an easy stage by any means. So it'll be excitement from the start.
To me, it looks like the stage is designed for Pogacar to take the lead early. I mean, the stage 2, it's finished on this climb Santuario de Europa, and for people who have watched cycling for a long time, this is the stage where Pantani won in 1999. It was already stage 15, but he blew the whole field apart. I mean, it's a very famous stage. If you want to go look it up on YouTube, he's in the lead. He punctures or has a mechanical problem at the bottom of the climb, is 40 seconds behind, comes back, passes everybody, and wins by like 40, 50 seconds. So that's already a hard climb. Normally, under normal circumstances, Pogacar should already put his stamp on the race there. And then it's just a question of, I mean, me, for example, as an ex-director, and you, George, as an ex-gregario domestique, I think we both will agree that to say, Pogacar, please give the jersey away to someone else. The question is he manageable, right? Is he going to be able to do it? What do you think?
We haven't seen him. In fact, we spoke to Mauro Gianetti before Flanders last year, and he mentioned any race he enters, he wants to win. And that's been a hard part of controlling him, is he wants to win every race. Last season, we saw him winning from the first race of the year to the end. And I think it's hard to control him. He's a year older, a bit more experienced. Now, probably arguably a lot more on the line. I mean, he could win the Giro and the Tour if he can serve. So I think, if logic takes over and he's looking at the big picture, he would definitely want another team leading early on. And you know, let give his team a break and take the pressure off of him.
Today's show is also brought to you by Caldera Labs. It's funny because if you go back a few years on the show, none of us, not me, Lance, George, anybody, put any sort of skincare, any product on our faces whatsoever. We just weren't taking care of ourselves. Not to mention, especially Lance and George, all that time in their sun, in the wind, their entire careers, right? Now, since we've partnered with Caldera Labs, we're all addicted to it. Like if you leave your any of your product laying around when we're recording, it gets snagged. You know, we're all grabbing it. We're all addicted to it. It even feels weird to leave the house without putting some Caldera Lab product on my face. You just get used to it. And it's improved my skin. My wife has noticed. I've gotten some compliments. It has definitely helped. You can look more youthful, more energized, more healthy. I've stopped noticing a lot of the lines that I used to have. And people are commenting. It's making a difference. So get 20% off with the code we do at Caldera Lab. I'm going to help you out with that one. CALDERALAB, calderalab.com, and use the code WEDU, WEDU, for 20% off. Also today, today's show brought to you by Helix Sleep. We've been sleeping, my wife and I have been sleeping on a Helix mattress for several years now, and it has really improved the sleep. And when I notice it the most now, and I kind of dread it, is when I'm traveling and I'm staying in a hotel bed with whatever mattress they have, and I'm like, I don't sleep as well. It makes that big of a difference. Prior to owning my Helix sleep mattress, we went and we bought what was supposed to be the best and the greatest out there. You know, when we went into a mattress store, didn't compare. All right. Helix, we did the online test of how we sleep, what we want, took the test. They sent it to us. It's been great. It's been absolutely great. So if you're not getting the sleep you deserve, you should definitely check it out. Make a switch on that mattress. If it's been too long, you should definitely do it. And Helix is offering up to 30% off on all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. So go to helixsleep.com/themove. One word, the move. That's helixsleep.com/themove. That is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. I did notice that the continuing trend of the average stage length is 158K. It keeps getting a little bit shorter, shorter, shorter. And that's just to amplify things. Is that not true? Over the years, it just keeps getting a little bit shorter in general on average.
I think it's good. You know, I mean, we don't want stages of more than 200 kilometers, which are, you know, boring for 2 or 3 hours. It just contributes to, you know, the aggressiveness of the race. And the Giro was famous for having multiple stages of, you know, 200 plus kilometers. So I'm happy to see that they're trying to get away from this a little bit. It's only going to enhance the viewer's experience, in my opinion.
I agree. Shorter stage, a lot more room for attacking, making it, you know, high pace, although they seem to be racing everything these days full gas. But 150, 160K stages, you know, they can do that in four-ish hours and race full gas the whole time, which will make it very exciting. It could make a lot of, you know, the stages coming right down to the wire, which we love to see as fans. It always makes it more exciting to make it a close race.
Not to put you on the spot here, but if Pogacar is able to pull off the Giro Tour double, where does that put him in the history books? How many, do you know how many people have pulled that off the top of your head? That's probably a tough one. Modern cycling.
The last one to do the double was Pantani in 1998. Before we had Miguel Indurain, who's done it, I think, two times. I think Bernard Hinault did it a few times. I think three times. Eddie Merckx did it. So, I mean, really, the big names. Stephen Roach did it. You know, on top of that, he won the World Championships in the same year.
Yeah.
It would be historic, but personally, I think that's something you can only think about afterwards. Right now, I think Pogacar's on track to have a good chance, but he first needs to win the Giro. And I think one of the difficult things is, you know, being such a big favorite. It comes with a huge responsibility, and it comes with basically the whole peloton riding against you, especially the teams of those secondary favorites like Ineos. So also Romain Bardet, who's one of the favorites for the podium, at least. Their teams, they will definitely not collaborate in any way, even if the situation gets out of control for UAE and Pogacar. You can't expect no help from anybody. And even if those guys have ambition for second and third, at least in the first part of the race, they will have to do everything by themselves. So, then you have another rider like Ben O'Connor, for example. Ben O'Connor was fourth in the Tour, I think, a few years ago. So if you can be fourth on the Tour, you can have ambition to be on the podium of the Giro. And on top of that, he has the Decathlon AG2R team around him, who this year is performing amazingly. I think they're fourth or fifth in the team's classification, are winning a lot of races. And for Pogacar, being the sole and only favorite, he has his work cut out, and especially his team.
All right.
Yeah, and we'll see these, like you said, Johan, at first, they're not going to be helping at all. But then as the race progresses, 10 days in, 12 days in,
yeah,
we're going to start seeing different races within the race, races for second, races for third, races for the mountain jersey, young rider. So then teams start collaborating for different interests, which we always see in Grand Tours. But I agree with you, Johan. Decathlon is on a roll. Larry Warbas is on the team. I'm excited to have him on, watch him, helping his team leader there, Ben O'Connor. Those guys, it's been an impressive season for them. And typically they usually shine in the Grand Tours, in the Tour de France. But this year they've started early and have been on a roll, and I'm excited to see what they can do in the Giro. And Romain Bardet, I agree. He's on a smaller team, but he's back. It seems to be back to his best. He said in Liège, best in Liège, he's been feeling as good as he has since when he got second in the Tour de France. So it's great to see him back at his level. And he's a rider with panache. He attacks. He doesn't really wait around for anybody. He doesn't seem to have fear. And I think he's got nothing to lose. So he's definitely a great podium contender.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to get your...
What about Dani Martinez, George? I mean, he's one of the guys I put down here. And I know you spent some time with him in Colombia a few weeks ago. How do you see his chances?
Well, we actually ran into him at the top of Las Palmas a couple of weeks ago when my son and I were there training. Great guy. He invited us to do the rest of the lap with him. He was on his TT bike. The team gave him basically the whole spring, most of the spring off to go back to Medellin and train at altitude. They know that he'll get the best training. He had a follow motorbike guy. He had his physical therapist with him. So his training was completely dialed in. Everything was catered toward the Giro. He seemed confident. He was one of the last, if not the last man standing for Egan Bernal when Bernal won it. He was a very huge player in that victory. So he knows his Giro well.
And he finished fifth.
And he finished fifth.
By being a domestique. So
I like his podium chances. And his whole season is been centered around the Giro. So I think he's got a good shot. Great shot.
Before we get, I want you guys to actually do your best to do a podium prediction and your final parting thoughts. But before we do, it looks like Magnus Sheffield is in the waiting room. So let's go ahead and jump into that and see what he has to say going into his first Grand Tour.
All right. We have Magnus Sheffield joining us here for the Move Giro preview show. I'm particularly very excited to have Magnus on. I'm a huge fan. He's a fellow New Yorkan. I mean, we can't say there's many New York cyclists that made it to the Pro Tour. I think there's less than five. So it's pretty awesome to see Magnus make it to the top level. And actually, much harder run than I did. I mean, he's up from upstate New York. It's cold as can be up there. So he had a really hard way to get into cycling, and he's made it to the top, and he's one of America's, if not one of the greatest talents we have right now on the Pro Tour scene. So I'm excited to have Magnus on the show. He's starting his first Grand Tour, and Magnus, welcome to the Move.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's great. So tell us how the first couple days have been. I remember the first My first Grand Tour, I can barely remember, but usually the first couple of days of a Grand Tour is just a lot of just sitting around doing nothing, getting bored. And, you know, I wonder if things have changed in that front.
Yeah, not really. I mean, so I just finished Tour Romandy on Sunday, and then I had a few days just easy, trying to recover. And then, yeah, because it's a short turnaround with the start tomorrow. And then I drove with my manager at Lumba, and I spoke with you then in the car. But yeah, last night we had the team presentation that ended up actually going quite late. I think we got back to the hotel around like 10 o'clock. So it is like, okay, you do 5 minutes maybe on the stage, but it's about, yeah, probably close to 2.5-3 hours of also kind of standing around. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that you don't necessarily see or know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Magnus, was the Giro on your program since the beginning of the season, or has it been a last minute or, you know, did it just happen in the beginning of the season that the team decided, okay, let's take you to the Giro?
No, the Giro was a really, really big goal of mine. This is my third year with Ineos. Last year would have been very likely that I had started my first Grand Tour, but unfortunately I had the really bad crash in Tour de Suisse, and then I had to completely reset. And then with the Paris Olympics this year, we felt when we sat down back in Mallorca in December that the Giro would be the best Grand Tour for me to debut in. The tour is possible, but where my big ambitions are with the time trial, we thought it would be much better to do the Giro, especially with the time trials that we have in the first and second week. This has really been kind of the big highlight apart from the classics. But even this, I felt like I had to sacrifice a bit. Like I didn't do the opening weekend, I didn't do any of the Ardennes. To really focus on more of the stage races and the build up to the Giro.
Yeah, I was wondering why you weren't at some of those races. In fact, I texted you before, I think it was Roubaix, wondering if you were going to be there. But I like the plan. You're slowly becoming one of the top time trialists in the world. Talk to us about, one, what's your role going to be in the next 3 weeks? I know you have one of the, you know, the favorites on your team, one of the strongest teams in the race as well. But are you going to get free rein for the time trials and or some stages, or you haven't really figured that out yet?
Yeah, this first week is quite hectic, especially if you see like some of the finales. There's proper launching pads with these like 5-6K climbs at quite consistent gradients and quite close to the finish. So I think, yeah, this first week is really just about being consistent, like trying to recover as best as possible, because the second week is going to be, I think, where you see the fireworks. We have the time trial, the first time trial at the end of the first week, and that's where I want to go for the win as best as possible. It's a really interesting time trial because it's quite flat, but I think the wind can play a big role, but it's a proper climb this last bit. I went and did the recon in January. And then, of course, we also have the Strade Bianche stage the day before. So this is also really hard. And then even if you look after the time trial, the next stage, it's an uphill start. And I think, it depends on who has the jersey, but I think, and what we've discussed in the team, like we need to be ready for anything because all hell could break loose, especially in the Giro. But I think the team, it is my first Grand Tour, so it's important to, manage these expectations, but also I think, the team will also help support me in trying to go for a stage as well as going all in for these time trials.
Can you speak much on Geraint Thomas's form going into this Giro? I think we're all anticipating a good Giro with him.
Yeah, I think she's looking lean as ever. He's looking good. His last race was Alps. The last race that I did with him, I think, was either Touraine. Yeah, probably Touraine. No, he didn't do Torino. It was Strade Bianche. I did Algarve earlier in the year. But yeah, the last time I saw him was in Strade. So, and even that was like good. We had a few members of the Giro team there racing together. But we haven't raced collectively. Like my roommate sitting beside me is Tobias, and I still haven't done a race with him. So that would be quite fun. But I think, yeah, G's looking strong. Okay, he's maybe not the outright favorite like Pogacar is, but I think, yeah, we really have to see how the second and third week are. But I think anything is possible in the Giro.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, what I wanted to ask you, Magnus, is we all know that Pogacar is the number one favorite. You guys as a team, of course, I mean, I'm not going to ask you if you think you can beat Pogacar. I think you have to start the race thinking you can beat him because everybody's beatable. The question is, how? How do you guys think you can beat Tadej Pogacar in this Giro d'Italia?
That's a really tough question. that's probably the million-dollar question. Johan, I think, okay, he also has a strong team here. Like in the press conference a few days ago, they said that Pogacar, he's not so good at altitude. But I don't know. You saw 2 years ago and even last year, like against Jonas, like he is possible to be beaten. But again, that's like with someone that can animate the race like a Jonas. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really going to take the team's effort, like the collective effort to really try isolate him. Mm-hmm. And I think he also needs to underestimate the component. So I think, okay, Pogacar, he is a ballsy rider. I'll give it to him. Like he's not afraid of attacking. You saw that in Liège and also in Strade. But if we can somehow get up the road, get in front of the race, and also be able to isolate him from the rest of his teammates, like if you see the Slovenia stage, okay, it's a really hard start. You have really hard climbs in the middle and in the final, but there's also long valleys. And if you have a really strong breakaway, similar to like what you saw in Romandy, like it is possible to win from these breakaways if the GC teams start playing too much on the time and underestimating who's in front. So I do think that, okay, if we're able to get a really strong breakaway ahead, and he is limited with his teammates that can pull, that's the best way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think, you know, it's a 3 week stage race. It's a 3 week race, and I think the beginning of the race is obviously hard. So there is, I think, a high possibility that he takes the leader's jersey on stage one, or at least on stage two. And then I personally think he's going to be his own worst enemy. And I think you guys need to try to exploit that. But anyway, you have a great staff around you, and I'm pretty sure that they know how to do that.
Yeah. And Magnus, since you said the first time trial is a big goal of yours, are you going to be able to, and you don't have to say it if it's part of the team strategy, but a lot of times, when this is the case, you take Garen, you stay with Garen as long as you can, and bring him to the foot of the first climb. For instance, tomorrow's got to climb near the finish. And then can you sit up and sort of save energy in this first week at all? Or you got to go as long as you can every day till as close to the finish as possible?
No, I think especially with it being my first Grand Tour and my ambitions in the second and third week, it's going to be about taking care of myself. The first four or five stages. So I think the most important thing is positioning the guys into the crucial climbs and the pinch points, like G and Timon for the GC. But then also you have to keep in mind we have Filippo and Johnny for stages. Yep. So these two guys are weapons. If they can get close to the final in good position. But for me, yeah, it's going to be really important to manage my effort especially in this first opening week.
Yeah, Grand Tour first week's always chaos, whether it's the Giro, the Vuelta, or the Tour. I know we're going to be super excited watching. You got a couple other Americans joining you, not on your team, but along in the race as well. So I think it's a good time for American cycling. And Magnus, we really appreciate having you on. You know, we might check in a couple of days or in a week to see how it's going, but thank you very much. Johan, you got Johan, JB, you guys, anything else for Magnus?
No, from my side, you know, good luck. Open your eyes and learn. And I think, you know, you're in the right environment. So we're going to be rooting for you.
So Magnus, all the guys would always make fun of me in my last couple of years of Grand Tours, because I was always like the first one at the dinner table, the first one leaving the dinner table, the first one at massage, and the first one sleeping. But you know what? Grand Tour, every little bit counts. So just remember that. Save as much energy as you can every day, and always focus on the next day to come. Take it day by day.
Yeah, I just have one silly question. You don't sound like a guy from upstate New York. You sound like you've been spending more time in England or Ireland. What's with the accent? Where have you been spending time?
No, this is my problem, is all my teammates. They give me a bunch. Yeah, when I first joined the team, I got a lot of banter. Or they gave me a lot of shit on how I spoke. So I think I'm slowly
adapting slowly, just to fit in.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Well, good luck, Magnus.
Once I come back to New York, then
it right I'll back be able into to it. Yeah.
Normal again.
Yeah, that's not going to work well in New York. I can guarantee you that. We got to keep our New York roots, you know.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
Have a good night. Good luck. All right. So we got our podium picks. Johan, you want to go first?
Well, I'm going to say Pogacar, Geraint Thomas. I'm going to say Dani Martinez also because of the time trial. Bardet is not a great time trialist. So Pogacar, Geraint Thomas, Dani Martinez.
I like it. I'm pretty much the same. I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to go Pogacar, Dani Martinez, and Roman Bardet.
No Geraint, huh?
I love G, and he's got the experience, and I think he's going to be right there fighting for it. He's got a great team. It's a tough call leaving him out. I threw in Danny because I rode with him a month ago and I really like him. And now we spent some time together, and it's a tough one though. I think G can be up there as well.
No, I think with this field, George, there is no way Geraint Thomas is not on the podium. I mean, he almost won it last year.
Yeah.
He only was beaten in the last time trial. And, you know, I think it was at least the same. Well, I mean, Pogacar's obviously the huge favorite, but, yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those, situations, circumstances where the age, G being 37 years old could be a helpful thing. He's got the experience. He knows how to recover. He's a great time trialist. So he can use these, like, Magnus mentions in his interview, which you guys just saw. There's some really hard stages right before and right after the time trial, which will suit a rider like Geraint Thomas, who has, you know, got a lot of Grand Tours behind him, got a ton of experience. So yeah, he's definitely one of the clear podium favorites as well.
And he knows how to wait and be patient. I think that is super, super important in a Giro.
Yes.
You know, typically the Giro is decided always in the last week. This one will be no different. The hardest part is at the end. And yeah, that's when you have to be there. You know, for the moment, we haven't seen anything in terms of results of Geraint Thomas that could, you know, validate him being a podium favorite. But same was last year, and he was there.
You know, and a rider like Geraint, he's pretty much done everything you can do in the Tour, probably more than he ever imagined, more than he ever dreamed of. So he sets a goal like the Giro. Nothing else probably really matters to him, as long as he's focused on his training and that he's going to be in the best form possible for his ultimate goal of the year. He doesn't need the results in the other races.
He's been there, done that. He's also doing the Tour this year, by the way, George. He does the double too.
Wow. That's hard. That's epic.
Well, I like your picks. I'm surprised neither of you put Ben O'Connor up there. But I'll throw it in. I'll throw that one in.
I like it. That's not a bad pick. That's not a bad pick either.
All right. Any other parting thoughts before we wrap up this? And we'll be back on each rest day, you know, 1 week recaps and then the final after the.
Great. We'll see you guys then.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.